Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Welcome back, and shout out to new members just in the last day. We've got J.F. Salusi, Ben, and very importantly, Jazz Guitar Scholars. Do you know who this is? This is Rodney Jones. Rodney Jones is my teacher. Rodney Jones was my first teacher in New York and continues to be my teacher to this day, and mentor, and I have untold stories and information from Rodney that I will need to do a lot of work to prepare some videos on, like a series of stuff on that. But for now, it's just fair to say that the majority of what I'm doing here comes from him, you know. So credit where credit is due. Rodney Jones is hanging around. And please check out Jazz Guitar Scholars. That's over on Facebook, I believe, is the main venue for that. Rodney Jones, Jazz Guitar Scholars. He has all kinds of offerings over there, and he has videos where he's practicing in his studio for, like, you know, he'll practice softly as a morning sunrise with a track for like 45 minutes and just continually invent more and more crazy things that you didn't think were possible on guitar. There's a lot to learn from him. Okay, so continuing on, a lot of great feedback on the Grant Green episode. I didn't expect it to be so popular, so I'll be doing more of those. If you have some requests, I'll be happy to see if I know about some records that you're curious about. And I have plenty of stuff in my own stacks here I can dig into. Things that have been influential to me, whether they're jazz or sometimes other stuff as well. And speaking of other stuff, I would like to go back to the Bach that I did on Sunday. Now, on Sunday, I posted a little video, my weekly Bach on Sunday thing. And I posted this prelude in C minor for the lute, BWV 999, transposed to D minor for guitar. This is a piece I heard my friend Dan Weiss playing it on piano a couple weeks ago. He was messing around with it. And it reminded me that I used to play it when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, let me find the sheet music for that. So I dug it out and I practiced it Oh, for a little bit. It's not a hard piece, so it took me maybe an hour or so to get it together. But then I wanted to... It reminded me also of how I remembered stuff when I was learning how to play guitar, and I wasn't a good sight reader at all. I had to basically memorize everything. And which is, you know, it's a good skill to practice, actually, memorizing. But in order to memorize stuff, you need to have some kind of, I don't know, way to keep it in your memory, you know. So what I am pretty good at memorizing is songs, song forms and stuff like that, and melodies and things like that. So I think of this as like a song, and I'm just going to take you through how I think about this piece. The sheet music is attached. It's also attached on the thing from Sunday. So starts off in D minor. Pretty clearly, D minor, okay. Now everything in this song is the same pattern. So once you get the pattern, the little right hand pattern, which I'm just using three fingers, thumb, index, middle, ring finger, and then middle, index, index, and then some sort of bass movement at the end. So it's some sort of harmonies happening, and then it's arpeggiated through it and does a little digga digga thing. Drummers would call it a diddle, diddle diddle. And then some kind of bass movement that alternates, filling in the space of the bass is like the lowest note of that harmony. Right there. Right? So that's a pretty simple pattern to remember. You could just sit on one thing until it gets kind of automated in your hand and you don't have to think about it anymore. Okay, so we're in D minor. Now what happens? G minor. This is clearly G minor, right? It's just triads. And this to me sounds like 1-4, right? So there's two ways that I'll be thinking about this. One is in terms of like chord names, D minor, G minor, stuff like that. And the deeper structure, which is really more how I think about tunes, is 1-4 in terms of like the function. Because when you learn songs, you have to be able to transpose them if you play with singers and stuff like that. So I would, you know, when I was younger, and still, when I learned songs, I learned them in terms of like how does the song work, you know, in terms of, oh, it goes to the 3, it goes to the 4. On the bridge, it, you know, it goes to the 4, and then it modulates this way and that, you know. So I think about this as being, okay, it's basically in D minor, but there's a structure to it. And the structure to it is, for me, easier to remember than a whole bunch of chords. Like, first a D minor, then a G minor, then like a whole, like I don't think of all the things you are, like, okay, F minor, B flat minor, E flat 7, A flat major, D flat major, D minor, G7, C. I think of that as, oh, you're in A flat major, you go 6-2-5-1-4, and then you go 2-5-1 in the key that's a major third up from where you started, right? So that way I can modulate it to any key. It doesn't matter. So this is kind of the same thing. 1-4-5. Now, why is this 5? Because it's a diminished. And that C sharp is the leading tone right there. It's leading us right back to D minor. If I put an A in the bass, then you can hear how it sounds like a 5 chord, right? It just has this D pedal in the bass, you know, and the effect of the pedal is quite dramatic in this piece. 4. Now to the 5. This is like an A7, I can think of it either as A7 or I can think of it as 5. Okay, so there we have an opening cadence. 1-4-5-1. Pretty familiar, right? Now, I should say that Bach was not... He didn't classify his music in this way, like in terms of chord progressions and 1-4-5 and 5-5 and all this type of stuff. That came later. that came with like Rameau and other theorists that analyzed Bach stuff and were trying to figure it out, you know. And Bach was not, he didn't teach music that way. From what we understand, it was, you know, mostly like, you know, here's the melody, sing the melody, this is how it works. Obviously, there's an incredible amount of scientific kind of calculation and stuff involved in what he did, but he didn't really talk about it. He didn't write treatises on how to compose. He just composed and was like, here's, this is all killing stuff, figure it out, whatever, play it. So the proof is in the pudding, I guess. So anyway, but I am going to be, for the sake of this thing, I'm going to be talking in this stuff, in terms of the 1-4-5 stuff, which is like, you know, 17th century, whatever, and then in terms of chord changes, which is like 20th century. 1, D minor, 4, G minor, 5, A7. Now, D minor. What's going on here? Well, to me, it's just a bass movement that doesn't change the harmony fundamentally. It's kind of like hit the road jack, and don't you come back no more, no. It's that kind of, which is actually in the Grant Green thing from just a couple days ago. That's an E flat minor, right? That's kind of that, you don't think of that as like each of those as a chord change. I mean, it could be, but it's all kind of E flat minorish, and the bass is moving is the main thing. So that's what I think of as happening here. Until it gets here. Now what's happening? That bass went down. Okay, fine. It's all D minor now. New note. G sharp. What does a G sharp mean? G sharp and a diminished? This is diminished, right? Well, we know a diminished is like something's going to happen, right? That's what we talked about back in the symmetry series. Like this stuff is static. Static, pretty much. Not much happening there, but oh, something's going to happen. The diminished makes you feel like something's going to happen. That's not a very sophisticated way of saying it, but that's the way I think about it. Because it has to resolve. Now this is all, the motion in this is provided by the bass. And now, well, something's going to happen again. This is a different diminished than we had before. The one we had before is C-sharp diminished. This is G-sharp diminished. Why am I calling it G-sharp? Because G-sharp is the leading tone that resolves. Okay, so this is the little reveal here. It's E7, right? G-sharp diminishes E7, right? Same thing. So. A minor chord with a ninth in it. Now what has happened here? What has happened? Because usually if we were to stay in D minor and you hear this, let me go back to D minor so you hear it again in your mind. So there's the 4, there's the 5, back to the D minor, and then it's walking down. You would normally hear this as a 5 of 5, which would go to something like some kind of A7, back to the D minor. That would be a typical progression, but here it doesn't do that. It goes, I'll start at the beginning again. Sorry. 1-4-5. Goes to A minor. So A minor is a very unexpected sound there, very dramatic, and And what this is well, it's I mean, it's in a new key now, right? It's instead of going to the A major or A7, which is the sound you would expect in the key of D minor, it's gone to A minor. A minor is not in the key of D minor, right? It's just a different sound. Now, is this momentary or are we going to stay here? Well, it goes to an F major 7, which is, you know, that's still D minor-ish, but then it goes here. D minor 6, and then where it's really confirmed is here. Two bars on a big E7 chord, so it's really establishing that we're in A minor now. We're no longer, we've forgotten about D minor. It's been wiped out, you know, by all these chord progressions in A minor. So, because remember, this is where we start. Then it comes here. Then here. A minor. D minor 6 is a 4, right? And then back to the E7. Moment when this big E pedal, and that's why we put it in the key of D on guitar, because if it's in C minor, the original key for lute, this big pedal section, that's all with a D pedal, which, you know, we don't have on the guitar unless we tune it differently. So the whole thing is transposed to D minor. But from this point on, this E pedal is just underneath it, and it provides all this is something that you find in box music a lot. Some big pedal is happening and all kinds of stuff is happening over the top, and that pedal kind of grounds it and provides a lot of interesting tensions, and when it finally resolves, it's a big deal, you know. So he's got, now what if he could resolve it right here? He could do that, but then the piece would be like over, so he doesn't do that. He does go to the 1, and by 1 I mean A minor, because we've now modulated. He goes here. It's A minor, but it's still got the E in the bass. 5, that's E7, back to the 1, back to the 5. Then here. Now what is this? This is F7. I mean, every guitar player has played this F7 a million times. What is F7? Well, in the key of A minor, that's like the flat 6. That's the if you were playing a minor blues, you know. When it comes time for the turnaround, that F7 comes, you know, leads into the E7, which goes to the A minor, you know. So when you come here, that's like a 6 chord, right? Flat 6, you know. Then it comes to the E7 with a flat 9. And you might expect it, you could resolve there, right? But it doesn't, of course. It keeps the tension going. Oh, sorry. D sharp diminished. Now, what is D sharp diminished doing in here? Well, D sharp diminished, well, you know where it's going by, you know, learning the piece, but basically, instead of resolving how he could have done 6, and resolving something like that, he goes, sharp diminished. This is like a B7, right? This is like 5 of the 5. As the same as F7 is kind of like a 5 of the 5. Like this is kind of very similar sound. That F7 to the E7 to this B7, F7 and B7, as we know, with tritone substitution. So that's kind of the same sound. It's based on the same diminished. That diminished, right? Right? You lower any particular note of that diminished and you're going to get a dominant chord. Lower the note. We can get a D7 by lowering the E-flat. We can get an A-flat 7 by lowering the A. We can get an F7 by lowering the F-sharp. And we get a, and by lowering the C, we get B7. So that's what's happening there. And that's the way that I think about it anyway. So, because it goes to the 5 with the suspension. Now you know where this is going to go. 99% of the time you hear this sound, it's going to go here. Now you could just resolve it here. All right. But he doesn't resolve it, of course. Keeps the tension going even longer. So after this F7, E7, B7, 5 of 5, suspension 5. Diminished. This is now, what is this diminished? Well, this again, the same diminished that came from the F and the B. You know, because it's going to the E7, the diminished that has the E7 in it. Has this G sharp. I'm sorry, that's wrong what I said. Oh, it is. No, this is, sorry, I'm right. I got confused in my mind, but this is the diminished that you see in the same as this, and the same as this. Same thing. The 5 of 5 right into the 5. Diminished, they descend, right? Like, they descend through, as the circle of fifths goes around, the diminished descend, right? I could sing the circle of fifths and play descending diminished, and they would work out. So, here we have 5 of 5, back to the 5. So he's coming from the 5 chord. Resolve and go back to the 5 of that and come around one more time. Now bring it to the 1, but he still hasn't quite resolved it because he's still got this bass. Like, it would sound more resolved if you put the root in the bass, but he doesn't. He keeps the 5 in the bass. Well, this is nothing but the sus, right? E sus again. Because I have a feeling it's going to go here. Hey, look, I'm right. Right? Now, it has to resolve at this point, right? I mean, this is so many times around through this thing. You're expecting, okay, this is too much. This is like the limit of how far we can go on this thing. And that is, in fact, correct. Finally brings in the A on the bass. But does not resolve the harmony. He resolves the bass, but doesn't resolve the harmony. What a wild idea. It's sort of like you got this big... And then you come here and you put, and you just keep the dominant in the harmony, but you resolve the bass, and so it's like, okay, I thought it was going to resolve, but it didn't. What could possibly be the reason for that? Well, look what what happens next. A major, right? Everything in your that you've heard up to that point would make you think, okay, this is all A minor from A minor to the 5, to the 6, to the 5 of 5, 5 sus, 5, 5 of 5, back to the 5, to the 1, to the sus, 5. With the root and the bass. Now, what a dramatic moment that is, because it's like, after all this stuff, it's like a, after all this dark minor stuff, the sun comes out, right? What a sound. I mean, think about that. Sorry, I was putting the A in the bass there. We finally got back to where we started? Maybe. Because if we were to come here, and then maybe we could get back to D minor, you know, make that A major into an A7 as the 5 chord. Because remember, the original initial surprise was 4-5-1, and then. Expecting from here to maybe go to the A, right? But it doesn't. It goes to A minor. So in this case, when it finally comes back to A major, I hope this is making sense. It feels like kind of like we've gone back to D minor in a way, because this could be the 5 chord. So the 5, it goes back to the E7. And another E7. And back to A. So it doesn't seem like we're going to get to D minor. It seems like we've just decided, okay, now we're going to go to the parallel thing. Instead of A minor, we're going to A major. And there's a 5 of 4. We did get back to D minor, but that's not D minor as a tonic. That's D minor as a 4 chord. You can hear it very clearly, because that's going back to the 5 again. We hear this type of chord progression all the time. So in a way it never gets back there, because the way the thing ends is after it's 5-5-1-5-4, right? This is a diminished, but it's an A7, right? Seven. 151 at the end there. That's a diminished, fully diminished. You can think of that as an E, but we don't play the E. We just get the sound of it. Okay, so this is quite a masterpiece, I think, of just progression. It's like it's a beautiful piece. It's very simple, but it's very sophisticated at the same time. That's, I think, one of the things that's some of my favorite music is stuff that's basically simple, but there's a deep sophistication in the way that it's put together. So you think about this A7, how it functions. This is clearly a five chord there, but when that same thing comes back here, it's the exact same thing. It has an A in the bass. As before it had. But here. Now it's going from 1 to 4, whereas before it was going from 5 to 1. There's a lot to be said. So I'll just go through real quick and I'll just sort of call out the changes out loud. 1, D minor. 4. G minor, 5, A7, back to the 1, bass line walks down, now 5 of 5, which turns out to be just a 5, because we're modulating to A minor, 6 in A minor, 4, 5. 5 sus 5 5 of 5 5. Oh. 1 sus 5 5. It's still 5, but with the 1 in the bass. A7 with a flat 9, 4, 5, 1, 5, 1. So that's, I think memorization is a really important thing. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't have any choice because I wasn't good at sight reading. I would just memorize everything. But I did build up a pretty good skill for memorizing, and I'm pretty good at memorizing songs. Not particularly good at memorizing long strings of chord changes. So for me, for something like this, I think of it as a song. It has a thing. I think of this as kind of like the bridge. That whole episode with all the E pedal, I think of that kind of like a bridge. And then when it comes back to the A major, I think of that kind of like the last A. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the way I think about it. So hope you dug it. We'll get back the next episode. I think I'll get back to the polyrhythm stuff. But want to thank you again for spreading the word, sharing with your friends, and commenting and participating. All right. See you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.